From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on the stage at Madison Square Garden this past weekend, the scene of a rally for Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. Nearly 30 speakers were chosen to deliver remarks and warm up the crowd for Donald Trump. The speakers delivered a long list of remarks, demeaning Kamala Harris at times, implying that she was a political prostitute, painting the picture of a country that is collapsing into a lawless, jobless mess, just waiting for a savior in politics. And so the remarks of a comedian named Tony Hinchcliffe didn't really stand out, at least not to the crowd at the time. Hinchcliffe's remarks sounded pretty similar to what the crowd heard from Stephen Miller and Tucker Carlson and Rudy Giuliani and others. And Hinchcliffe is a roast comic. He's made his name by joking about individual groups. He does this often. But his remarks about Puerto Rico have caused major waves. If you somehow didn't hear what he said by now, let's listen.
It is absolutely wild times. It really, really is. And, you know, there's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay. All right. Okay. We're getting there.
Now, critics on all political sides have said that Hinchcliffe crossed the line here, that he didn't seem to know that Puerto Ricans are Americans, and he's probably never been there to experience the island's beauty and culture. Trump himself has not remarked on the joke about Puerto Rico being an island of garbage, but J.D. Vance has said he is over the idea that everyone gets offended by every comment made in politics, and we all have to calm down and not be so offended. Republicans in states like Florida condemn the joke, pointing to the large population of Puerto Ricans there. So how do we evaluate where the lines should be? Is it fair to conclude that this remark from a comedian represents how a political movement views a population of people? Our guests this hour include in studio Dario Joseph, who's a local comedian of Puerto Rican heritage, in part. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being here, Dario.
Thanks, Evans. My pleasure.
Jose Pio is on the line with us. Jose is a former Rochester City Councilman, former political pundit. He's a current political pundit on the Politically Correcting Show. Jose, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'll start with you, Dario. You're a comedian. You think about lines in comedy all the time.
Sure.
You're of Puerto Rican descent. How did this one land with you?
First off, you know, I just want to say, you know, the island of Puerto Rico and its people are beautiful. You know, it's you have to visit to experience it. I've been numerous times. My mother would go summers. My grandmother was born and raised there. She was buried there. The Puerto Rican people are very prideful about their island. So it's one of those things where you don't really want to mess with it. And so when you slight the island of Puerto Rico, you slight the people of Puerto Rico, and they don't really take that nicely. And, you know, we've seen the response to this. And to me, as a comedian, you know, I understand jokes, and I understand, you know, this is what Tony Hinchcliffe does. You know, he's a roast master, he does jokes, and that's what he's known for. But to me, it's not a great joke. You know, it's low-hanging fruit, which most of the set was, and it didn't land well at MSG either. You could hear the reaction. There wasn't a lot of laughter. There were obviously Hispanics in attendance, so that they didn't really take that, you know, too kindly to that as well. And, you know, I kind of feel the same way. You know, I guess there's things you can joke about, and then, you know, It just kind of got lumped together with the rest of the rhetoric of the night, I think.
Would it have been different if it was a Puerto Rican comic doing that joke?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, and to me, that's kind of the rule, I guess, now that I play by. You know, I go on stage, I make fun of myself and my heritage, my background, and I can speak to my own experiences. I'm both of Puerto Rican and Italian heritage, so one of my jokes is that I'm the alternate ending to West Side Story. That's what I am. So, you know, so if there's things that I can talk about that others can't talk about, and it's just experiences. And otherwise, it's just, you know, sometimes when it's not funny, it just becomes kind of hate speech, I think.
Jose Pio, how did it land with you?
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't that funny at all. I understand maybe where he was trying to get to. I do have family that's still there. I have family that recently were down there. I've actually met with a real estate agent and developer that came to Rochester to take a look at some properties. And, you know, there was conversations being had about the relief efforts down there after Hurricane Maria. And, you know, I'm honestly happy that a comedian was finally able to bring out to open the ongoing waste management problem to the forefront. A lot of people think that this is just some joke where he's attacking Puerto Ricans. But if you stop for a second and say, what is he talking about? Why would he call it an island of garbage? Why would he say that? You know, stop and think for a second and actually look, do a little bit of research, and you can see that Puerto Rico does have a waste management problem.
So this was a nuanced commentary on what an island needs from its leadership. Is that?
Well, I think that it's bringing something to the open. Again, you know, Tony Hinchcliffe is certainly a insult comedian. I actually am a very big fan of his. I loved his roast on Tom Brady. I thought it was hilarious. It was certainly pushing the envelope, and it's definitely not for everybody. I can't believe, honestly, that he was even allowed on that stage. But, you know, you know where you're getting with him, and, you know, there's going to be some lines that should have been drawn, and this one was certainly over the line with a week left to, you know, for people to vote. But I do think that there was some manufactured outrage here.
Yeah, so we're going to take this in a number of different directions about this notion of outrage and what pushes people's buttons. But let me ask both of you, and I'll start with you, Dario. You know, in this case, what is the potential harm or the stereotype that you're concerned that Puerto Ricans experience that this sort of exacerbates?
Yeah, well, Jose kind of referred to it. I mean, there was a history of this and this feeling in the Puerto Rican community and its relationship with Trump. I think, you know, it goes back to the response after Hurricane Maria. And we all remember this, you know, Trump showed up there probably way too late. You know, the response just wasn't as quickly as it should have been. And he showed up, he's throwing paper towels to the crowd. The Puerto Rican community doesn't forget these types of things. It's just being treated like lesser than. And, you know, there's a history of the way President Trump has treated lesser than groups that are, you know, non-white.
Okay. Jose, are you concerned that this kind of humor from, you know, a white comedian, does it exacerbate stereotypes? Are there stereotypes as a Puerto Rican that you've had to deal with?
Well, there's certainly stereotypes that I've had to deal with, but I personally just don't allow, you know, other people to dictate my emotional responses. I'm pretty stoic that way. I don't allow someone else to kind of tell me what type of person I am or my heritage or, you know, what I'm supposed to believe about it. I think that there's certainly a way to look at this so you can say, look, that was a wrong thing to say, but at the same time, was there truth there? And that's where I want to kind of bring this. You know, we have 32 open landfills in Puerto Rico, and only 5 have met EPA standards. These are huge issues in the island of Puerto Rico. And, you know, even the Biden-Harris Department of Justice sued Puerto Rico for waste management corruption. This is a huge issue that needs to be dealt with and has not been dealt with. So, again, I'm very happy he brought this to the forefront of conversation. But we need to have leaders who are not going to jump on the emotional response of this and actually look at this from a more stoic, you know, angle.
So, let me just respond to the waste management part of this. Monroe County has waste management issues. The Finger Lakes has waste management issues. Staten Island has waste management issues. Yes, Puerto Rico's got an issue there. I don't think most people heard Tony Hinchcliffe's remarks and thought, now that is an acerbic, that is a sharp commentary on an important civic issue in Puerto Rico. I think they heard him stereotyping Puerto Ricans as sort of trash people, less than. I think that's what they heard. I don't think they were hearing a waste management commentary. Do you?
Well, again, I don't allow other people to look at or listen to a comedian and tell me as a man what I'm supposed to hear for myself. I grew up with comedians who, you know, did this type of comedy. This is not something new to me. It's not something that's going to cause me to have anger towards another person. It's going to, first of all, it's trigger something inside of me and say, okay, what does this mean? Is this actually funny, or was this an attack on my character? Is this an attack on my culture, my heritage? And to me, it just immediately, absolutely, I said, that was a stupid joke. Why would he even say that? Why would he call my island an island of garbage what the heck is wrong with this guy? That was my immediate response. But then you take a step back and you take a look at it from a different angle. What did he actually mean by that? Why would he say that? But I also want to bring back the clip that you played there. I don't know where you got that clip from because I heard it live and there really were no laughs. I heard a big gasp. I heard some people kind of booing. I heard some people gasping and kind of moaning about the joke. I did not think that the crowd was laughing at all. He even after that, he says, okay, we'll get there. You know, he knew that his joke, I use air quotes here, fell completely flat on the crowd there. So I just don't think that other people should be telling me what a comedian is, what they mean by what they say. I'm going to take it from my own eyes and my own ears. I mean, I saw Kathy Griffin not that long ago who had a decapitated head of Donald Trump filled with blood. You know, how am I supposed to take that? Is that funny to me? No, that's not funny to me. That was a president at the time, a sitting president. And yet the media didn't say anything about that.
Oh, I mean, I thought there was quite a lot said about that. And I thought my own personal view, this show's not about me. I thought that was horrific. The worst kind of imagery, not funny or clever, and indicative of all of our worst impulses. I don't know, Dario, how did you want to weigh in on Kathy Griffin's years old?
First of all, I don't do prop comedy, so there's that. There's nothing funny about that either.
It was awful.
It's not a commentary on anything. It was blatantly trying to be offensive and rile people up. And you know, the real number one goal of comedy is to be funny, right? I think we can all agree on that, right? Is to get laughs. It's not to offend. It's not to rile people up. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. And like Jose said, you know, this particular joke didn't land well in MSG. But then what does it become? You know, what does this joke that's not funny become? Is it just messaging? You know, is it just like communicating to Trump supporters that this is what we think? And are we agreeing with this?
Well, and let me ask you a different question from the comedy angle here. There's been a lot of talk, especially in the last decade, about the lines of comedy, about who can tell what jokes, Jerry Seinfeld, in his remarks to Duke University this past summer, was basically saying, let's take this back and let's open comedy back up and let's not be so offended all the time. Seinfeld and among others have said, you know, it's harder to play college campuses, or everyone gets offended too easily. I'm trying to listen on all sides of this. My instinct in speech is always to counter speech you don't like with more speech, as opposed to snuff out speech. I think that there is a very bad road where that leads if we are just trying to police speech. At the same time, that's easy for me to say, you know, white dude with a microphone, easy for me. But I want to ask you if you think, whether it's Kathy Griffin years ago with the Trump head, or Tony Hinchcliffe at MSG, J.D. Vance says he's over it. We all have to stop being so offended by every comment that we hear. What do you think?
Yeah, when it comes to comedy, I don't really believe in lines. I'm all for free speech, but when it comes to comedy, also, like, you know, my original point, just be funny. You know, whatever topic or subject that you're going to cover, make sure that you're funny. There's plenty of comedians that delve into dark places, that talk about things that, you know, nobody really wants to get into, that are social commentary, but they're able to do it because it's funny. You know, they're bringing hypocrisy or, you know, the ridiculousness of life to light, but in the way of comedy. That's what makes it an art form. Mm-hmm. One of the comedians that I think of is Anthony Jeselnik, who really, you know, he talks about everything. There's every subject that you can think of, and he does it in a way that it doesn't offend because there's jokes there. You know, it's not a simple misdirect with low-hanging fruit. It's really just, there's an art to it.
So Jose, do you want to weigh in on that? Because there's a couple other things I want to hit here before we open it up to some listener comments. Listeners, if you have anything you want to share on this, it's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections at WXXI.org. Anything you want to add there, Jose?
No, I really love Dario's position there. I appreciate it, especially him bringing up Jeselnik. He's a hilarious comic, but again, I was raised with Dave Chappelle. I mean, this guy brought social issues to the forefront and really just nailed it with the comedy. You know, some people are gonna be funny with it, some people are gonna cause some kind of, you know, dramatic response to it, and Dave Chappelle just absolutely killed it. So I just want to say I appreciate Dario's response there.
Now, garbage is getting a lot of play in a lot of different directions here. So before we get to some of today's remarks, let me back up a little bit. Producer Megan Mack, the third clip that we pulled, Donald Trump's comments about America as a garbage can for the world. I thought this framing was, this is just a few days ago, Donald Trump talking about immigration and his concerns about illegal immigration, why he wants to deport between 10 and 20 million people. This is what he had to say.
A lot of people coming out of the Congo, not just South America, they're coming from 181 countries as of yesterday. Right, and we're a dumping ground. We're like a garbage can for the world. That's what's happened to our, we're like a garbage can. You know, it's the first time I've ever said that. And every time I come up and talk about what they've done to a country, I get angrier and angrier. First time I've ever said garbage can, but you know what? It's a very accurate description.
So those were his remarks just a few days ago. Back in 2018, when he was president, Trump complained about, quote, having all of these people from blank hole countries come here. He singled out Haiti, El Salvador, and African countries as examples. And then he added, quote, we should have more people from Norway, end quote. And then it starts to look like a pattern. When Hinchcliffe calls Puerto Rico an island of floating garbage, when Donald Trump says we are the world's garbage can, when he says we need more people from Norway, not Africa, not El Salvador, not Haiti, it starts to look like a pattern. Jose, do you not see it that way?
Well, I appreciate the framing of the question to kind of push the direction of the answer, but I don't see the problem with him calling us, or seemingly that we seemingly are the dumping ground of the world, because he's absolutely right. I mean, I came from the background of military intelligence. I'm trained with understanding what's going on in the world, specifically in Southern America or South America, and I understand the gang members down there, the cartels down there, the narco terrorists that are down there. And if I were a leader of those countries and I saw that America's borders were wide open, why wouldn't I send my entire prison population over there? And that's exactly what they've done. Now, everything else, when it comes to the rhetoric about, you know, whatever country these people should be coming from, I don't particularly, you know, like that rhetoric. I don't like it at all. I think it is, you know, certainly something that needs to stop. But there's other rhetoric that needs to end as well. You know, calling people Nazis for being Trump supporters, calling them garbage for being Trump supporters, I don't think that's appropriate either. And that's a lot more current than 8 years ago.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Biden's remarks in a second. So Dario Jose thought that I was creating a narrative there and kind of leading with the question. I am putting pieces together. That's correct. I look at the evidence there, and there is a long list of evidence from Trump and his supporters. Well, let's listen to what Stephen Miller said. This is at the MSG rally the other day. Stephen Miller, one of Trump's top advisors, talking about wanting to erect a lot more physical walls and figurative walls for anyone who thinks that they're coming to this country.
The cartels are gone. The criminal migrants are gone. The gangs are gone. America is for Americans and Americans only. One man, and that man, ladies and gentlemen, That man took a bullet for you. He took a bullet for democracy.
All right. America is for Americans and Americans only. And again, this is where Jose is going to say, well, you're just crafting a narrative. But I wonder if Stephen Miller knows that Hitler in 1934 said Germany is for Germans and Germans only. Like literally said that. And there are times where I feel like I'm just getting trolled here. I don't know. So Jose, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to say that about that because I personally think that that was kind of a garbage statement as well. I do believe that America is for people who want to be Americans. That's for sure. Meaning that they should be coming in through that big, huge portal that we allow legal asylum seekers to come through, not just walk over our border and just come in and say, hey, I'm just here to, you know, make a better life for my family. Fantastic. We all are. But at the same time, are you willing to come into America and be a taxpaying citizen? Do you want to assimilate into our culture as well, which is America first? We have to be Americans first because personally, myself, I'm tired of my money going to endless wars, to other countries that when we have an issue, we don't get any of their support. So, yes, I want people that want to come to America and be Americans. And now what the way he put it, no, I certainly don't agree with how he said it, but I see what he meant. He wants to have people who are America first, who want to come here, who want to be Americans. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I understand that. I do. And I definitely understand the importance of saying, like, do you want to be here? Are you motivated to be here? Do you value the opportunity to be an American? I understand that. I'm just comparing the notion that the language at MSG, that America is a garbage can for the world, that you know, that we've got people from Africa, Haiti, El Salvador, South America, we're the garbage can for the world now. And I compare that with what Reagan said in the early 1980s when he said, you can go to live in France, but you cannot become a Frenchman. You can go to live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, a Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American. That's so different. That's the Republican president 40 years ago. That is not the same that we're hearing. And I don't know, Dario, again, Jose, who's a smart guy, is telling me I'm probably connecting too many dots here. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a pattern with, you know, things that have been said. But I mean, it also goes to the policy that's being floated out there about mass deportations, things like that. And, you know, Jose is talking about people that are trying to make lives here. And Trump is floating ideas about deporting them, people that have been here for years. So this is part of Project 2025 as well. So it's like, I don't know. You know, there's tons of, contributing immigrants that come here. We can't get rid of them because they are part of America. And that's what America was founded on. You know, it's like immigrants coming in and contributing in different ways. This is what we're built on.
I want to read what President Biden said in response to all of this, which is probably upset the Harris campaign more than anybody. Although J.D. Vance, who says he is over us being so offended, heard what Biden said and said that he was offended. So I guess selective outrage there. But here's what Biden said, and I'm going to read his remarks in full with a caveat here. When you read his remarks in full, it is not clear to me exactly what he's talking about, and I don't mean to be rude, but sometimes his extemporaneous remarks are a little incoherent. So here's what Biden said. Quote, just the other day, a speaker at Trump's rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know or Puerto Rico where I'm, well, in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters, his demonization of Latinos is unconscionable and it's un-American, end quote. That's the word for word. It is understandable that people took that as Biden saying, the only garbage out there is Trump supporters. I'm reading this and I think he's probably actually saying in a broken kind of somewhat incoherent way, the only garbage I see is his supporters' demonization, supporters with an apostrophe S. And I know now we're in the what is the definition of is territory. But either way, it was a, if we're just being blunt, I think it was a really stupid thing to say. And now you've got the Harris campaign basically asking him not to talk for the last 7 days of this campaign. Jose Pio, are you offended by what President Biden said there?
Well, again, I don't get offended by what anyone says because I don't believe that he's talking about me. You're not going to call me garbage, that's for sure. But no, I mean, you can take it however you want. You can split up his words however you want and kind of put it together yourself. But he said what he said, and he's a standby. He said that half of America, I mean, whoever knows what the number is now at this point, is garbage simply for supporting someone that is not aligned with his own personal views. That to me is way worse than saying that there's a floating island of garbage out there. And I don't know. I think that, again, maybe J.D. Vance is right. I'm not a fan of J.D. Vance personally, but maybe he is a little right that we need to stop being so, you know, soft about this kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't think that there's a way you can walk back from saying what Joe Biden said, President Joe Biden said.
No, actually, what J.D. Vance said is that we should stop being so offended about the Hinchcliffe remarks and we should start being so offended about the Biden remarks. You know, but whatever. That's politics. And that's where Jose Pio's point is correct, that selective outrage goes in all directions in politics, especially the closer to Election Day you get. That's just part of what happens here. I'm reading these remarks and I don't know that he was definitely speaking about Trump supporters. I do think it is possible that he was, and I think it's possible that he, in a garbled way, he was trying to rip Tony Hinchcliffe. Either way,
Can you play it?
I don't.
Can you play the audio?
I don't have the audio of the Biden remarks.
okay.
No, we can try to get that. I'm trying to literally play the, I'm trying to read the whole remarks there. And
if there's a way we can play it for the people so they can hear it themselves. If there's any way you could pull up Hillary Clinton talking about
no, hold on. There is a candidate for president, not named Clinton, okay. And not named Biden. And this is what I want to listen to what Kamala Harris did say when Kamala Harris was asked what she thinks about Trump supporters. She was asked directly on Fox News by Bret Baier. Basically, she said, you know, Bret Baier, you'll hear him. He's saying, boy, you say that Trump represents all these dark threats. Like, what do you think of the people voting for him? I mean, let's listen in full.
Why, if he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States, why is that happening?
This is an election for president of the United States. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know, but
it's not supposed to be. It is not supposed to be a cakewalk
for anyone. So are they misguided, the 50%? Are they stupid? What is it?
Oh, God, I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within, an enemy within, talking about the American people. Suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
So Kamala Harris did not at all allow for any inkling that she thinks Trump supporters are stupid, misguided. She has refrained from ever. I mean, I think probably if we're speaking honestly, I'll ask both of you what you hear there. But, you know, Jose Pio, she's a politician. She remembers 2016. She remembers the Hillary Clinton remarks. And she has taken pains to say that she does not view American voters, whoever they vote for, that way. Last week, she said if someone votes for Trump and not her, she said then she didn't earn their vote. That's not the same as saying they're garbage or evil or vermin. Trump uses the terms evil, vermin. I do think it's weird that J.D. Vance is upset yesterday that we were too outraged about Hinchcliffe, but now he's outraged about Biden. Meanwhile, Harris has been saying all along, I got to earn your vote, and if I don't earn your vote, that's fine. Like, you know, you got your choice there. So I think she learned a lesson from 8 years ago. What do you hear, Jose?
I think that she has a very good campaign management team who is telling her what to say, you know, considering she said that college students were stupid. I think that there's a better way to go about this whole campaign process for sure. But we're not going to forget those of us who understand how the rhetoric has been for many months at this point. It's not just this Tony Cliff guy in his comments. It's really how they painted the entire, you know, MSG audience and the get together, let's say, of Donald Trump rally being there, but yet forgets that, you know, Bill Clinton had a same or similar rally not that long ago as well. So, I mean, it's like any gathering that is done by Republicans, they're called white nationalists, they're called fascists, they're called Nazis, you know, and they're not saying it outright because that way, you know, you can't just pull up a little audio clip from them when you need to, but they're saying it without saying it outright. We know what they're trying to say.
Well, I mean, the people who are saying it outright are the actual Republican generals who served with Trump. Right?
I'm never going to accept the views of someone who got fired.
Okay. Dario, anything you want to add here?
I guess the rally at MSG was characterized as there was comparisons made to the Nazi rally right at MSG, but you know there are people flying Nazi flags in boat parades and things like that. There's definitely imagery happening.
I don't think the Nazi flag is. I got to be careful here. Confederate flags all the time. Nazi flags a lot less common. I don't see.
I've seen.
I'm not trying to defend anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
But and I'm also not saying it's all of them. Of course, you know, there's select few. It's a small amount. I hope. But at the same time, you know, Tony Hinchcliffe's, you know, his comments are mirrored by the rest of the speakers of the night. Aside from Trump, you know, there was Rudy Giuliani, Tucker Carlson, you know, they're all very much a lot of divisiveness, a lot of hate, you know, it's just and there's a lot of racist rhetoric happening. So it's like it's not a standalone event. You know, this is the messaging that's coming from that rally.
All right. Let's get a little feedback here. Nancy first on the phone. Hello, Nancy. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm listening and I concur. You know, the bottom line is that there has been consistency with the insulting of not only Latinos and now more recently Puerto Ricanos, but all many, many minority groups have been targeted throughout this campaign. And I think that the focus maybe should be, instead of comedy, what we should be thinking of in regards to how do we bring the healing process once the campaign is over. Because what has happened for me in witnessing and hearing and, you know, it's overwhelming what has been done to the value systems of our country. There is no such thing, really, as an American. If you read today's paper, you will see the apology that we have given to the Native Americans that were the first to arrive in this country. Why was there an apology made? Because we insisted that they forget their culture, their language, and that they integrate into the American way. And what happened? As a result, children were abused tremendously. That's part of our history. When are we going to learn that we need to get away from that and focus on what we can do to work as a people with the issues of diversity, what needs to happen in this country for us to survive.
Nancy, just briefly, let me just follow up with one point with you, and then I'll let our guests weigh in. The reason that I brought up, for example, Reagan's rhetoric on immigration, he said one of the hallmarks of what makes our country so strong and unique is our embrace of the immigrant. And
that's right.
So I bring that up because in my own lifetime, the rhetoric and what we see today, it was not always this way. Now, Trump's campaign has said that the reason that the rhetoric has gone this way is because we are now at an immigration crisis. It's the worst it's ever been. And, you know, they're painting a very dark picture of the current state of the country, despite the fact that if you read Harvard's Steven Pinker, most measures in this country, health, crime, wealth, the economy, are outperforming most of the world and are going in very, very good directions. That's not a very popular political idea. It's not a very popular news idea. But again, I bring this up because what you're describing, it wasn't always this way. And this is, there are ebbs and flows in politics. What do you want to see right now, Nancy? I want to understand. I know you're not happy. What do you want to see?
I want to see respect for the value of people. I want to see us come together as a country and not continue this negative ideology targeting Hispanics, Latinos, migrants, immigrants, targeting Puerto Ricans. It is wrong. It is not part of our value system.
Okay, let me just jump in and give our guests time to respond here. I'll start with Dario Joseph in studio. Go ahead, Dario.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I alluded to it before. You know, America's from its beginnings a melting pot. You know, I mean, both halves of me wouldn't be here if it wasn't for immigration. Italians, Puerto Ricans, all Irish, all these. Everyone came over, and that's what America is. It's an amalgamation of all these different cultures and everything together. So, you know, it just doesn't make sense to divide us now, because that's what makes America great, is everyone from all over the world together, working together, bringing different things, different backgrounds, different cultures. That's what America is.
Jose Pio?
Well, I completely understand and agree in theory, but as most of you know, I'm actually a Democrat and I'm helping a Republican run for Congress, Greg Stavik, and I've seen both sides. I've seen the inner workings of how the sausage is made on both Republican and Democratic side, and I can assure you 100% positively that the most hate I've ever seen in my life has come from Democrats. Every single last person who has come up against, you know, just to have a conversation with Greg, when they automatically hear that he's a Republican, they'll swear him off. They'll call him disgusting names. And then when he says, well, I mean, my you know, campaign manager is a Democrat. I'm showing we're trying to work together. Then they come after me for having, how dare I even work with someone like that? And to me, it's fine and dandy to say that we need to work together. It's fine and dandy to say we're the party of, you know, unity and diversity and inclusion. But in reality, I got to tell you, that is not the reality at all that I've seen.
Okay. Listeners, if you want to continue to weigh in here, 844-295-TALK. It's toll free, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Are you still a Democrat, Jose Pio?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, what describe for me what those political values are that make you feel like that's still the right home for you.
For me, I understand that Republicans want a smaller government. They want to pay less in taxes. They want the government, you know, out of everyday living. I understand that. But for me, I understand the government has, or from my own point of view as a Democrat, I believe our government has a role to play in helping those who can't help themselves. There's a problem I have with the Republican Party that everything's on the individual, every single thing. So if I were to become in a car accident and I can no longer work, my wife would not be able to have any, you know, help. That to me is a problem. Or let's say we get into debt, my house gets taken, my car gets taken because I can't pay my bills. That to me is a problem. We have a solution in this country with our taxes that we can have our government come in and help. But we're just overspending in areas and our budget's way out of control. I believe wholeheartedly that our government has a role to play. Republicans do not.
Talking to Jose Pio, who is a former Rochester City Councilman, political pundit on the Politically Correcting Show. Dario Joseph, a local stand-up comedian, with us in studio. All right, let me work through some of your emails here. Elizabeth says, how about Trump's comment that they are poisoning the blood of Americans? I wish you could have seen the look on Dario's face when I just read that. He did recently say that people coming into our country are poisoning the blood of Americans.
I mean, I'd love for him to explain what he means by that, just expand on that. But, I mean, I don't know what the description, I mean, this American that is being described at the rally and, you know, by Trump, what is that, you know? It's not the Americans that we're talking about, you know? Is he just saying white people? Is that what he's saying? Because it seems, you know, with that type of poisoning the blood, what does that mean? That just seems very much, I don't know.
Jose Pio, did the poisoning the blood thing bother you?
Dario, I agree that it sounds terrible. I would hope that you go back and listen to the full audio of that.
Okay. Full audio. By the way, I always endorse listening to the full audio. I'm with you there.
I appreciate that because I believe, Evan Dawson, you are very good at what you do. But we've even seen on this show a couple of times where we played either you tell the clips and you tell us what was said, but you don't play the full clip, or it sounds like an adulterated clip. I'll tell you right now, I was a huge hater of Donald Trump. I despised Donald Trump until a certain point when I found out that they were cutting up his audio. So for anyone out there who reads a newspaper or reads articles, if you see a quote that is cut up and there's words in between the quotes, you automatically know they're inserting their own viewpoint there. And go back and listen to the full audio so you know what they said.
I would also say that having watched entire Trump rallies for the last 8 years, there is not context that softens the idea of poisoning the blood of the country.
I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know where that was even came from. I've never heard it myself. And
it's got a historical context.
I'm sure. I'm just saying I've never heard it.
Okay. Definitely listen. In fact, I would encourage people, listen to Trump's full rallies, word for word. Don't listen to a 10-second clip. Listen to the whole thing.
3 hours.
Well, okay. 3 hours is a lot, but try to listen to the listen. I'm with Jose. Listen in full. I think that is always a good idea. A listener is asking about Alex has a question about the comedy of it. He says, it seems that we forget that the best comedians don't punch down. It was a bad joke from Hinchcliffe, like structurally a bad joke. He also made a joke about black people carving watermelons, not pumpkins, for Halloween. This isn't your run-of-the-mill, ha-ha, I triggered the libs humor. That's from Alex. In fact, there was a separate Tony Hinchcliffe joke about Latinos that we originally pulled for this program and then decided it was over the top, kind of raunchy, that we couldn't. So there were other comments. He did make a joke about carving watermelons for Halloween with black people. And part of what Alex is saying here, Dario, as a stand-up comedian yourself, Alex is saying he thinks best comedians don't punch down, and that this was not run-of-the-mill, just trigger-the-libs humor. I actually think it kind of was just trigger-the-libs humor for the sake of it. I think that's what he was going for. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, as we alluded, Tony Hinchcliffe is a roast comedian. And I mean, most of those jokes and roasts are very much punching down. You know, you're picking on individuals and their backgrounds and, you know, things about them. And you have to do that, you know. So
in a roast, you mean?
Yes.
But usually a roast is a roast of a person who's got a lot of power and fame already.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you define punching down? And do you agree with Alex that the best comedians don't do it?
I don't know if I'd agree across the board. It's hard to say. But yeah, I mean, I personally try not to punch down. I try to really, I just take from my own experiences and I try to, you know, make those funny. It's not really about attacking individuals or groups of individuals. It's really just about, you know, pulling from your own life and making that funny. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's a pretty common misdirect is what he was doing. You know, it's we think Island of Garbage to me. I mean, Jose had different thoughts, but to me, Island of Garbage was we're talking about pollution, global warming. Obviously, there's a whole Democratic thing about that. It's anti-woke for some reason, whatever. But, you know, so that's what I'm thinking. And everybody's thinking that. And then they switched it to Puerto Rico. So it's like very much. It's just a common misdirect is what he's doing. It's pretty much comedy 101 type of thing. But Yeah, it's not a great joke, and it just didn't land and obviously upset a huge population of people in this country.
Let me get Andrew on the phone. Hi, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, both sides are guilty of too much bad speech. And I'm just going to make this real quick. I'll leave you alone. There's two verses in the Bible that are very pertinent to this. The one is from Psalm 34, 12 and 13. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. We want to have a more abundant life in this country, just like everybody. And we're listening to all these people just say all this negative stuff all day long. And the first thing to having a more abundant life is keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. And we're going in the opposite direction of what the scripture recommends to have a nice life. Thank you very much. I'll take my answer off the call. But see you later.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Dario, anything you want to add there?
No, I mean...
You didn't think you, as a comedian, you were weighing in on scripture here.
No. Yeah. No, I don't know if I have the authority to do so, but... I grew up in the church. I don't go anymore, but, I have a background in that. And I mean, I was taught from my time in the church to love one another, no matter what the differences are. I mean, and that's kind of what Jesus's thing was. That was my real takeaway from that. So, I don't know. I mean, divisiveness is not, the way of religion.
Okay. Jose, Andrew is turned off by the darkness he's hearing here. What do you think?
Yeah, I loved it. I appreciated him quoting Bible scripture there, and I completely agree. And it's absolutely on both sides. I do agree with that. And it does need to end. I think everyone is tired of it. Everyone is done with it. I miss the days of seeing two grown people up there having dialogue, having conversation, just outlining their policies, and then having the American public just choose which policy they preferred for their America. I do miss those days.
I'm curious to know what the bar is that Kamala Harris would have had to clear here. You heard her with Bret Baier say she would never call Trump supporters stupid or malign them, that she has to earn their vote, that they are Americans, that they are to be respected, that she wants to see this country respected around the world, that we have a great country, not a terrible country, that it's a great country no matter the outcome, that we respect our institutions and elections. And you're just saying, well, both sides have been really dark. I'm curious to know what the bar is. What would she have had to do to convince you that she is not participating in an exceedingly dark campaign?
Well, Dario kind of hit on it. And he says, you know, we need to love each other. And when it comes to love, it doesn't mean you just accept them as they are for whatever they do. Love is also holding people to true and honesty, you know, making sure you're not speaking ill will, make sure you're not lying about the other person, make sure you're not causing someone to kind of, you know, be looked at in a certain type of way amongst their peers or in front of others. And I got to say, I've seen the debate. I understand that the moderators did not jump in and fact check Kamala at all. And she had many reasons to be fact checked. So when it comes to that specifically, how about we don't lie about the other person? That's a good start.
Okay. I hear you. It's interesting to me. Your concern is about lying. And so your support ends up with Trump.
Hold on. You said my support ends up with Trump. My support ends up with Trump's team. I'm not a supporter of Donald Trump. I'm a supporter of RFK Jr. and Make America Healthy Again.
Oh.
I'm a supporter of Tulsi Gabbard and ending the endless wars. I'm in support of Elon Musk.
Don't bring up RFK with 2 minutes left. That's a whole other show.
Come on, then bring me back on. Let's talk.
One more phone call. Another Andrew. Andrew, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, sweet. Honestly, I just want to say, Evan, this is my first time listening to your show. Thank you for literally taking words out of my mouth when I'm listening to Jose talk about these post hoc rationalizations for what was obviously overt racism. And again, you even brought up Miller and his America is for Americans. But I know you guys were talking earlier. I think it was the late, great George Carlin and on a talk show at late night that said, the best comedy is when you're punching up, not punching down. But what I was curious is Donald Trump has already said that he intends to do mass deportations of quote-unquote illegal immigrants. And the last time this happened, there are a lot of legal Americans, veterans included, that got deported that still can't get back in the United States. So I can't rationalize supporting Donald Trump and what Hinchcliffe said when Donald Trump is just very obviously, you know, telegraphing that he doesn't care for immigrants or Puerto Ricans who are also American citizens.
Andrew, thank you for the phone call. Call anytime. Jose, 30 seconds, then you got to get to work. Go ahead, sir. Thoughts from you.
I appreciate it. I feel like the bar of racism has been dropped so low that everything is racism. Calling an island, saying that it's an island of floating garbage, I would love for someone to explain to me what that means in terms of racism, in terms of how does that make a white person more superior than to the entire Latino race. To me, that's not racism. It's just a bad, terrible joke. It was bad wording. I did not like the joke at all. I'm not trying to make up for it. I'm just saying it was just a bad joke, but it brought light to a serious situation.
Hey, I know your schedule's tight. Jose, thank you for being with us.
I love you, Evan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dario Joseph, 30 seconds here. Your final thoughts there from you.
Yeah. Just to comment on what Jose said, I mean, calling and basically a people garbage is definitely racist, I'd say. It's not okay. I mean, garbage is not good, right? We can all agree on that. But at the same time, you know, jokes are jokes. I mean, people can take them how they want to take them. And clearly, you know, Puerto Ricans are angry about this joke.
Hey, thank you for being with us.
Of course.
You can see Dario Joseph on local stages here.
That's right.
And we'll have links to his work in our show notes so you can learn more about Dario. More connections coming up in a moment.